The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gif. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
One, two.
Welcome to TVI episode 209.
219 Stockton, big up. That's the UFC, the Diaz brothers always say 209 Stockton.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, what, they say their postcode?
Yeah, like as in the game.
It's a bit nerdy, really.
Yeah, they're geeks, man, them two.
Anyway, joined by one of the first comedians I ever saw, Andrew Bird. Yeah, mate. You did. No, it was a PJ gig. Yeah. I think.
I don't know why everyone instinctively laughs as soon as you say
he taught me on stage once, and I don't know if he's shit or not.
Yeah.
And just walked on.
We'll talk about PJ because people won't know who PJ is. Most people of our listeners.
He's a good guy, isn't he?
Lovely guy.
Just in case he's listening.
I think it was the Jack Beards pub in Tooting.
Oh, yeah.
And it was you. I think it was either you, Al Murray, you were so new, and it was just a gig around the corner from my house, so I went
that
and watched.
It used to be quite rough, that pub, didn't it?
It was rough.
Because I knew the people who run that pub for a while, and they said that a lot of travellers come in and cause a lot of trouble.
We used to drink in there a lot growing up, you couldn't get barred from it. My mate once, while we were just pissed and
you
having
tried
a laugh,
hard.
And just pulled a fire extinguisher off the wall, one of the CO2 ones, and just let it off in my face on the dance floor. And literally, like, the bouncers were like,
the
come
new
on,
move,
mate.
Dance on, move.
That's a bit out of line. Like, just got a bit of a talking to. Like, in a pub now,
don't,
if you set off a fire extinguisher
fire
in someone's
guns
face,
at people's faces.
You would get kicked out.
That's a worry in a pub, isn't it? When you're stood there going, I don't think we can get barred from here.
Yeah.
That rough.
That means they can't get barred.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, if we can't get barred.
But it was rough, but now it's called the Antelope, and it's a really nice gastro pub.
Oh.
But yeah, I saw you. I'm
that
pretty because I saw you twice, right? When I was really new, I wouldn't say really new. That one in Jack Beards, I hadn't started yet, and I think the second one I saw you at the Watershed in Wimbledon, I hadn't started yet either.
Oh,
one of them was with Harry Hill as headliner. One of them was with Al Murray.
So what you're trying to say is I'm an inspiration,
absolutely,
slash role model.
all those things. And then when happens. I started, it turned out we had a joint friend who I grew up with.
Yeah, yeah.
Who you then worked with at the Bedfords.
Yeah, and lived with.
And lived with,
I remember him elbowing me going, someone I went to school with doing the new act night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one of the great things about you, Carl, if you laid out all the photos of you over the years, you are unrecognisable now to what you look like then. It's literally you and Bowie.
Madonna.
I've got all those,
it's like a shark, mate. I'm always moving forward, Never
but
stay still.
I remember doing that gig at the doing PJ gigs early doors, like we were saying, he's a good person, PJ. He means well, but he'll get you gigs. And then for ages, he said
I'm
to
only
me,
saying that for the pod in case he hears it.
Oh, yeah, we'll slag him off.
Thank you.
He stabs me.
But he'll get you an open spot in a horrendous gig to three people he's forced to be there who look really uncomfortable. And then he'll hold it over you for the rest of your life. He's still now. He says, I brought you down from Northampton to London. Like, I don't remember you paying for the train fare.
Come on, mate. I gave you some of your first gigs. But I
pulled you out the gutter.
First time I met... So PJ, for listeners, for people that don't know, he's sort of a legend of alternative comedy. He went by the name Robin Banks. He played the first ever night at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
And he was an alternative comic.
He was Jack Whitehall's agent, wasn't he, for about a week?
He has an amazing eye for comedy. Like, you know, even though he's now, probably about 125 years old. Yeah. But he's lovely. But the first time I met him, I had a ding-dong with him. Like, we had a proper argument. Because I didn't know who he was. I just saw this guy who looked like a... You know, he used to have a joke about looking like a fat Steven Seagal, because he had like a ponytail.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And always like, he had the old, I know what you're thinking, Steven Seagal's let himself go.
Yeah,
I think I just added that the fat
joke. I never said fat.
But he's like, God, I don't want to call you about that.
You know, fat, ugly, fucking, I love that bit you used to do. You know, the fat, repulsive, dirty Steven... No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So I must have added some bits. But I didn't know he was a comic. He was just at the gig. It was a new act night at the Bedford.
Yeah.
And I went on, and it was like literally probably my fifth gig or something. And after I came off, it went well. And then suddenly, just this little bloke with a ponytail wearing a black suit walks up to me and goes, I just want to give you a bit of advice about it. And he just gave me advice about my set. I was like, who the fuck are you, mate?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm all right, mate. I think I know what I want to do with my jokes, you know what I mean? Yeah. I didn't want any advice. I was very pretentious when I started that. I was like, I'm going to do this all on my own. I don't want any advice or nothing. And so I sort of went like, oh, yeah, I don't give a shit, mate. I don't want to hear your advice. And he had a go at me for
you're
being like,
one.
You know, who do you think, like, you know,
yeah.
If you're new, you should be willing to take advice. And then so I just thought, who's that div? And then somebody told me who he was. I was like, I don't give a fuck who he is.
Yeah.
And then just next time I saw him, like, you know, I just sort of got to know him a bit. And over time, I really grew to get on really well with him. And I still see him, like, semi-regularly now.
Yeah.
We go for a beer about once every 6 months. Me and him, he'll come to a gig and we'll just go and get pissed. It's really fun.
It's exhausting to talk to, though.
Oh, I love him.
He can't hear properly.
I know, yeah, he's half deaf, yeah. You've got to sit on the right side of him.
Yeah,
one of his ears is deaf.
Yeah, so a lot of it, like, and he mumbles so much you can barely hear him. So it's a bit of effort.
But it's really funny. Last time, I went for a beer with him a couple of months ago. I did the Vauxhall Comedy Club, and then he was there. So we went, let's go for a drink afterwards. And we had a drink there, and then it shut early for a private party. So it was like 10 p.m., and I said to him, I should go to another pub. And he goes, yeah, I'll tell you another pub. Let's go. And like, we started walking, and then suddenly we're going towards a tube. And I went, are we not going to a pub? He goes, oh, yeah, no, we'll go to another pub en route. And like, because he lives en route back to where I am, I was like, all right, we'll get on the tube. Maybe we'll go for one in Clapham where he can just walk home and I can head home south. And we're about to change at Stockwell. And he goes, no, sit down. And I was like, what are you doing? He goes, let's go Brixton. I was like, what? And he goes, I'll take you to a nice pub. He took me to Wetherspoons in Brixton. That was the nice pub he'd taken me.
I know this little place.
Like a little independent pub that only he knows
God.
About.
Oh, my God. He will go to a pub
to
based on price.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he loves a cheap beer. He once and very recently came to the backyard because I was on. And rather than get a beer there, he kept nipping out to the off-license and buy a beer and drink it outside and then come back into the gig.
Wow.
But Leos loved that.
Leos invented that. But I did a PJ with like some of my first ever gigs.
Mm.
He was there, and then he got me to come and see Al Murray at the Bedford at the Banana. That blew my mind.
Oh, yeah.
I was a massive fan of Al Murray. And then I started working at the Bedford.
Yeah.
And then he's always there.
What were you doing at the Bedford?
Beyond the bar. Oh. So I'd already started stand-up and then moved to London and worked in... One of my first ever jokes was my brother's friend moved to Colorado to do the ski season. So he gave me his job in one of the best pubs in London and his room in a house. I was like, cheers, mate. Have you got a girlfriend?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But,
thank you.
That was the big opener when I started. I should use that again. Anyway, so he used to come in. He used to come in the pub quite a lot in the Bedford and go, who's that new girl beyond the bar? I'm like, I don't know. She just started just there. She doesn't know who I am. I'm like, no. We're not. When people are interviewed for a job behind the bar for the probably last 3 months, they're not shown a photo of you. They probably should be.
Stay away from this guy.
Shown a photo of you.
This guy and Russell Brown.
Do you know what he did to me, though?
We'll talk about that,
we'll get that in a minute.
You know, on our Patreon, we'll talk about that.
Do you know what he did to me? He said, one of my earliest gigs there, he was doing a charity night there on like a Tuesday, and it was Al Murray, Stuart Lee, Richard Herring.
Wow.
And a few others, like really good acts at the time. And he goes, yeah, I'm putting you on last. I barely had a 10. Yeah. I was that new. I barely had 10 minutes.
It's like me now.
So he goes, I'm putting you on last. And I'm like, what? And all the bar staff I work with at the back of the room, going to watch a load of confrontational Aussies. Oh, you think you're funny? Let's come see you be funny then. So I've got to follow in probably my first 50 gigs, Richard Herring, Stuart Lee and Al Murray, barely got a 10. Not only that, just before he puts them on, he goes, hold a bit back, I'm going to bring you on for an encore.
Oh, my God.
And I walked on. I just remember, when you walk on a gig sometimes...
I'm going to bring you on for an encore.
I've got nothing, mate. So that's once I finished my last joke, I've got no other words to say.
I got an encore once when I was new and I literally had no jokes. I said no. And Adam Bloom's come off to try and get me... And I'm like, I can't. Like, there's nothing. You can't die on your encore.
Who was it that did? Somebody died on their encore once.
Oh, what, at the Comedy Store?
Was it Mickey or someone? I heard someone a great story about like it took so like one of his shows took so long to get him back on that they'd all the piss people that were shouting to get him back on had sort of forgotten they wanted him back on. They were like, let's go and get out of here before the rush. So he's come back on for an encore and after people that were shouting more walking out.
McIntyre had a thing about where he went off for an encore in like a big theatre show or arena, and he just lost his bearings and was going to stand behind a drape at the side, lost his bearings and stood in the wrong place. So he was just in full view of the audience and he didn't realise, he was just standing there facing a curtain like the Blair Witch. And they just walked back up.
Oh, shit.
As soon as I walk on stage, I'm immediately going, encore? What do we do there?
Yeah,
they're those gigs where you immediately start sweating.
Yes.
And your hair products in your eyes.
Oh, man.
And that happened. That was the gig where it was for his son's autistic.
Yes.
And he's... PJ's son's autistic. So he introduces Al Murray. And then he takes as long as he can to walk off the stage so he can just sort of be on the same stage as Al Murray for as long as possible. And Al Murray goes, all right, PJ, fuck off. Then he goes, PJ is a man with long hair. No wonder his kids aren't normal.
God.
Silence, just to be fair, geez. Just PJ laughing.
Yeah.
PJ pissed himself at that.
Oh, man. Anyway, so you're welcome to the podcast.
Thanks.
There you go. We've got Lucas on the ones and twos.
San Lucas, just back from Hot Water Comedy.
Yeah, it was good.
First gigs in Liverpool ever.
Yeah, man.
First time up north?
Yeah.
First gigs ever out, like, north?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Holy shit.
Ate shit, man. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, we heard, man, yeah. Binti called, yeah.
Paul Smith's talking about it on stage. But
it's on YouTube. He's doing a bit about your gig. It's going really well.
Were you one of the other only London acts, or was it?
No, there was one other London act.
What were their names?
But you wouldn't know him, but it was like a new act night. So it was like people who haven't been going that long.
Right.
But I'd been going longer than most of the acts there, so I did all right.
Wiped
by
the
comparison.
Floor with them.
Yeah, I was on in the first half as well.
Nice.
Did you do the best out of everyone?
That's what people were saying. By people, I mean my girlfriend.
And your parents.
She loved it.
She said it twice.
Yeah.
So that counts as people.
Yeah, exactly. A few people came up and they said they really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's nice. Good, man.
Lovely.
Well done.
Thank you.
We should probably address the big news of the week, seeing as we're recording this week.
Yes.
We just did, didn't we? That's the big comedy news.
It'd be weird not to talk about it briefly.
Should we save it for our patrons, you think?
We should also just...
I cannot hold back.
Uh-huh. Why, what are you planning?
Yeah.
Oh, how are you planning to hold
I
back?
I think someone needs to defend him. No.
It's mad, isn't it? Like, I've got to say, because obviously we're talking about the Russell Brand Dispatches documentary.
Yeah.
Were you gigging when it was all going off.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I knew it was going to break anyway at some point.
But no, because here's the thing. One thing I will say, I do, and again, this is, it might be people rewriting history a bit, but like everyone's, as much as everyone's like, it was an open secret, everyone knew. Like, I didn't know to what extent it was.
No.
Until I watched that the next day. Like, I'd heard one apocryphal story about him, and I knew he was a bit of a lech and a bit of a, you know, that sort of guy. But
I mean,
like,
he talked about that, didn't he?
Yeah. But I'd heard one sort of story of an indiscretion.
The girl in Edinburgh that time.
I don't know where it happened. I just heard a story about something he did, which overstepped the mark, you know, and basically. But that's all I knew. So like, when people are like, everyone knew everything, I didn't know. It turns out I'm either naive or I just don't hang out with enough comedians. Because I was shocked watching it. Like every single, like, oh, like the fact that they had what, four or five people, victims come forward, and none of them were the story I'd heard. It was like, oh, it's bad. Real bad.
I thought they would have had more on him. I mean, it was hardly like Bill Cosby level. Not that you, like, don't know what I'm trying to say.
No, but I suppose.
But it was, I don't know, like a lot of the stuff was like in his biography anyway. It was
not the sexual assaults.
No.
Because he did
not
weirdly
actual,
leave those out of his book.
Not the frapes, but like, yeah, they were there was two of those, wasn't there?
What?
Like,
I think there was two people who say raped them.
Yeah.
And the
can
other
we
ones.
Say raped?
I mean, it's our podcast, mate. Oh, yeah. We can say whatever we want.
Oh, yeah. I forgot I'm a CEO.
I'm going to cancel yourself.
But there was other ones where it was definitely on the borders.
Yeah.
So, yes, I mean, it was...
It's the police. It's in police hands now, isn't it?
And more. And I think the idea is, obviously, they've done their... These reporters are like, amazing at just, you know, they have to get a story so watertight that they
dispatch
legally
is a pretty hardcore, aren't they?
You know what I mean? Because obviously he's been. It turns out, yeah, everyone's the rumors have always been that he's got like loads of like litigation to
top
squash
lawyers.
There was a Vice, wasn't there? A Vice documentary apparently got made a few years ago.
My
that
friend got
his lawyers got
for it.
Stopped.
Oh really?
So like obviously he's been like using lawyers to cover up any allegations, right?
Yeah.
So these the ones that have come out in this documentary have got to be so like legally watertight that he there's no room for him to be. For them to sue them. Yeah. So actually, that's the idea is, I think what they do is they get to that point of like, this is watertight. And now that'll open up the floodgates of people coming forward and saying, actually, it happened to me as well. So already, apparently, there's been a couple come forward. So to the police, that is, as well.
And also about other people as well. People will be coming forward now.
Well, I think
they?
So, yeah. But I do think it's, I don't know. Again, it's like I think the danger is, yeah, you want to get people that are doing really bad shit first.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of, because obviously, what was it, after Me Too, we tried to sort of say, like, can everyone just wind their necks
he
in a bit?
He chatted me up once in a bar. Like,
well, yeah,
right.
You've got, there is obviously, like, you don't, I think it's rude for victims of actual assault if you throw in a sort of clumsy encounter with it. I think,
if
you
someone
know,
feels uncomfortable, that is, that is a thing, isn't it? Like,
yeah, but it's a thing, but it's not, I don't think you can equate
but
it
someone
to,
could feel uncomfortable, but the guy didn't mean it like that or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a difference between something that's a genuine, honest mistake and somebody being a fucking lech. We all know the difference. We've sort of hung out of you enough.
Yeah.
Varies as the night goes on with you.
Once night falls.
If anything ever comes, nothing will come out about me because the irony is I'm clean.
Yeah.
But,
You act like a creep, but actually, you're the opposite.
Exactly.
You're not hiding in plain sight. You're sort of lying in plain sight. pretending to be a fucking
I'm a good
predator.
Guy pretending to be a rapist.
But actually,
they're going to do a dispatches documentary saying I'm a virgin.
Yeah, he took me back to his hotel room, just wouldn't come near me.
Yeah. Frigid.
Frigid.
Someone in the shadows talking about how frigid I was.
Sight.
And he wouldn't even kiss me. It was a waste of my time.
Yeah, I tried to hold his hand. I mean, he bought me drinks all night.
No, but it is
wouldn't even kiss me.
But you know, I mean, obviously, he's obviously the big one. Yeah. But there is going to be, I mean, I imagine there's a few
other
names
more
that
are
going to
blow that I've heard about on the underground.
There's, but it's quite, it's,
say no
it's,
names.
It's bad the no. way the way they immediately, like I know a well-known comedian the following Monday was telling me, I had a load of interviews set up for today for some tour dates that I've got. I've had to cancel them all because
they just want to talk about that.
Well, yeah, and whatever you say, it looks bad. Well, like if you say, well, there's been loads of rumours, but you know, and then the headline's just he knew, did nothing, yeah. And it's like you can't go to the police with a rumour. Have you ever tried to report a rumour?
Yeah.
They really need some facts.
No, but this is the. I mean, this again. This is
there's
the
a rumour. I put it to the jury.
Yeah. It sounds bad when you go, oh yeah, I heard rumours. Like you were like covering up, but you're like, what can you do?
It's true. I mean, I've spread rumours.
Yeah.
Come on, me and Jared Christmas once spread a rumour that Paul Chowdhury collected Paddington Bear memorabilia.
I heard that.
Yeah, we told a bunch of people on the circuit just to see if it went anywhere. And apparently it went around a bunch of people and somebody asked him about it at a Christmas party.
Oh, hang on. And no, he went, Jared told me that. Okay.
But he was, and yeah, Chowdhury was like, who the fuck who's talking about me like this? But
do that.
Yeah, and again, it is that thing of like, you know, I think I find it. I mean, obviously, we're talking about it now, but that's because there's room to discuss it, and you can actually sort of say and have a conversation about it. But I find it a bit cringy when a lot of comedians are giving their takes on it on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah. And I've seen so many comedians just talking into a camera, going, "Here's my thoughts on Russell Brand." It's like I don't care about your thoughts on Russell Brand. Let's hear what the people that got affected by it are talking
when
about.
When men say "do better" and stuff, no, you do better.
Yeah. Well, it's also
don't
that
tell
funny,
me.
Well, it's also the funny one when you know it's. I think sometimes you'll read one from. I'm not saying you'll read it from somebody you think has done anything wrong, but somebody who you definitely think has been a bit of a creep now and again. And you're like, yeah, but I've never been a creep. I'm not taking advice from you, mate.
Yeah.
I'm totally clean. I reckon I've seen you be a little bit of a pissed lech a couple of times over the years.
There's been it's got better over the years. But I remember when I started, literally, Jonglers used to be like the end of the night music would be male comedians taking their wedding rings off and walking out.
Yeah, I mean that is one thing that's going. There's definitely been generation after generation of comedians across the board, I think, have got better and nicer, and it's not as male dominated. It's not as them. Yeah, that Jonglers, even like, you know, yeah. Obviously, it must have been brutal being like if ever there was one, the only female comic on the bill. Yeah. But even like, do you remember being like the new act going into a dressing room full of the old suited up bald blokes?
That's what I say. When we were like, because you started young as well.
Yeah.
When you started young, when I started, it was most lineups were mainly men in their 40s and 50s. Yeah. And it was hard for female
miseries
acts
as well. Yeah. Fucking miseries.
Yeah. It was hard for female acts, but it was also hard because when we started, there wasn't like now. Most comedians are young. It's quite normal. When I started, there was like me, Matt Kirshen, Russell Howard, Dan Nightingale, Danny Deegan. That was it.
If
you were on, you got the... It's not the same, but a similar kind of thing to a female comedian who's like, oh, what's this? I don't know if I'm going to like this.
Oh, man. And you sort of got like bullied in dressing rooms as well. Like, people wouldn't give
I
you the time
of day. I never minded that, though. It made me like...
I just sat in the corner and didn't talk to people. I think it's all part and parcel of the fact that I do think the circuit is better than it was. And there's still loads of issues, but I think things are just generationally, I think people are much nicer now.
It's horrible hearing it because I think most female comedians would say, on the whole, mainly most green rooms are quite nice places to be with male comedians because when you're doing stand-up, we're all on the same level. That's the great, it's the great level. Yeah, yeah.
But when you're not doing stand-up, they're not on the same level. You know, we leave to gig and they make you a fucking sandwich.
You come out and like a constant hand grenade on this.
Yeah. But I also would say I reckon the open mic circuit is still grotty. You remember like
that's the place.
When I started out, that's when you met the most creeps, the most fucking
Some
weirdos.
Guy books a gig.
I mean, you must get diddled every week, mate. Yeah. Being a little twink.
You think it's normal to just suck promoters off?
For 5 minutes. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. That's why it's called a 5 minute open spot.
You've got to open your mouth.
You can just email.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if it's the same. But when I started, man, there were so many just sweaty weirdos on the open mic circuit.
Yeah.
It totally is. Yeah. Yeah. It's like there's been like a list of people that have like gone round about people like don't book like, yeah, this people because they make people uncomfortable. Like, I'll always, because I run an open mic gig, and I always let like
it's all wrong uns.
Yeah.
You take the list. You take the list of book off that.
That's good. We'll just do that. Yeah.
It's called the wrong uns. Yeah. Touring it.
It's just, yeah, we're two Bob wrong uns.
Only women allowed in the audience.
You have an headline in that.
And then I'll
say who'd be headline.
Yeah,
I mean
Julian. No,
me.
No, so I let all the female acts know, like, beforehand, like, who's going to be on.
Just bring condoms. Ask if they're on the pill just when you're booking them. Sorry.
But yeah, no, I don't know. I always thought, like, there's a slight level of, even though there has been and is probably, I don't know, again, maybe I'm out of the loop, but there might be some creeps knocking around the actual main circuit and in TV still. But I think the open mics, I think
one in 10 men are probably a bit creepy, aren't they?
Is it really that high?
Probably.
I mean, fuck. I don't know.
I must hang out with nice people. I genuinely feel like sometimes I'm a bit naive and a little bit out the loop as well, maybe. But I remember the noticeable difference from going from doing the open mic circuit to the pro circuit, in that open mic circuit, it was so many nutters and weirdos, and like, I'm not having a go, but like, it was creeps. And then and then you go to the professional circuit, and obviously it's just a numbers thing. It drops, and amount of acts, and there's a level of professionalism you needed. Yeah. And we caught the end of that period where it was very masculine and blokes in suits sort of digging each other out backstage.
Yeah.
And then that sort of died off. And now I feel like, you know, I think every dressing room I've been in, at like the Comedy Store, the Banana and that, in the last 4 or 5 years, it's been lovely. Really nice mix of people. Everyone's sort of cool. No one's digging each other out.
I was recently in a green room. We met.
Stuff is nice.
We mentioned this in the green room. We just suddenly stopped. Me and Rialina were giving each other tips on what to put in smoothies. How's it come to this?
Well, I remember Sean Mio once stormed out of the Comedy Store dressing room. It's about 8 years ago. Me and Joe Lysert were talking about our favourite vegan cafes in Birmingham. And like, we were just like, oh, have you been here? Have you been here? And Sean Mio sat watching us, like, so annoyed. Like,
he's just a funny guy.
He's so funny, but he's crazy.
He cracks me up, man.
And he's just staring at us talking about vegan cafes. And then after about probably 5 minutes, he just stood up and went, we used to do coke in this dressing room, and walked out.
He's a funny guy, man.
Oh, man. But yeah, that shows the difference in generations, isn't
it,
man?
He's probably like nearly vegan, isn't he now? I don't know. He's into his fitness and that.
Yeah, I don't know. He strikes me as somebody who'd be like carnivore diet. He's fucking...
Just alive cows he eats.
Like a werewolf.
He murders every meal.
He'll have a regime that he's invented himself.
It
involves blood.
Hunts in the city.
Yeah.
At night.
But yeah, so anyway, so yes, it was a big shocking expose, and I think more will come out, and I do think some other people
Are going to go down as well.
Do you know what's weird?
Trust me.
What's weird is there's a lot of there seems to be a pattern of people who do that and then do a lot of charity work.
Watch out for them straight away.
Also, there is a disappointment in it from my sense, because I know there's a lot of people now coming out going, I never found him funny and all that stuff.
He was a big influence
on me. I remember watching him when I was new, thinking he was incredible. Edinburgh show was one of the best I've ever seen. Like, so he really, like, I was like, oh, this guy's amazing, charismatic. Like, he didn't do it like normal people, like, in terms of watch. It wasn't, because I didn't want to do jokes. I didn't want to do set up punchline jokes. I wanted to do rambling stories and weird stuff. I just think it's shit. No, I'm
joking.
It's cheap.
No, it's not. It's just not how my brain works. I can't write a joke like that. So I knew that I had to do sort of slightly more rambling stuff that goes off on a little journey. And then so I remember seeing him and being like, oh, fuck, he's just sort of chatting.
Yeah.
And then so I was a fan. And then, like, so it was horrible to then, you know, probably what, 5 years ago I first heard there was some check against his character.
I met him a couple of times. He was like really nice,
I mean, that's the thing. It sounds like he's a real narcissist. But also with that, he knows how to manipulate people as well, it sounds
like.
But no, but the thing about him doing all the spirituality stuff, that's weirdly one part of his personality I never bought into. I thought, I don't buy that. You cannot follow Buddhism, Zen, any of these things, and then have the ego he's got. because that's the first thing you've got to try and check off. You've got to pull back. Like, that is the whole point of it, is to lose your ego, is to sort of, you know, not have the attachment to that part of your life. And that's the thing he's most attached to.
He
might have read every book about it. He might have all the beads and tattoos of chakras he wants. Yeah. But he's never, ever, I've ever thought, done anything spiritually authentic. So, like, that's, I went weirdly. And now, look, now with the benefit of hindsight, you can say that, oh, maybe he was doing all that to slightly cover up, or maybe try and atone for his
character,
or maybe he had a moment where he realized and he's tried to change. But you can't just change and then forget that you did all this horrible shit. You've got to do something to help the people that you did, and you've got to basically admit it.
Also, I don't like the enablers as well that might let it happen.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I'm waiting to find out what happens to those people. Like, you know,
isn't illegal, so nothing bad will happen. But then they come out all like self-right. I don't know. Then they're like, they were a part of the problem.
He's had three different agents.
Maxwell, isn't it?
Yeah, three different agents for his career, and he's had loads of TV producers. Like, I think there's a lot of people who are going to get caught up in it.
John Knoll never got any complaints, so he said on telly the other day about Brand doing stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, but they're all, everyone who has in any way, like, is going to end up getting done for helping.
Yeah, I reckon more people will come forward and build a case in it.
Yeah, I think so. It's already with the police now, so let's see what happens.
Is
mate.
that the bit where that was quite, you don't think of it like that, where he'd slept with a girl and then invited her back and then forced her the second time? It's just, I think, I'm not excusing any of it, but he must
sounds
be
like you are.
Yeah. He just must be like women throwing themselves at him all the time and everyone saying yes to him all the time. His brain probably.
Well, that's what I reckon. It was a sociopathic thing where he almost couldn't believe they were saying no.
Yeah, yeah.
It was almost like he'd convince himself, no, they're just messing around. Like, you know, and that's even worse that he's fucking.
Well, it's a power thing, isn't it? Maybe that was the kink. You know, that is like rapist's kink, I guess, isn't it? Like,
God.
They like it when they don't want it.
Yeah.
So just start saying yes. Not really.
I don't think that will work. I've heard that mooted before. I don't think I'll suddenly go like, I'm not into it now.
That won't work.
But yeah, so anyway, so we'll see. More will come out and we'll see where it goes, innit? Let's talk about nicer things. You're on tour.
Yes, right in the middle of that shit storm.
Not a great time
to be a comedian.
It was like bloody the World Cup. The night before, it was the night before the World Cup last Friday, wasn't it? Where everyone was just like, oh my God, what's it going to be like? There was this mad sort of expectation.
I thought there'd be loads of comics named on it, and that's why I was excited.
You were chucking names out on WhatsApp. Oh, mate, Julian was slinging them out like a net, mate. Well, you can have some of that, mate. These are going down.
Donnelly.
I'd go Tim Vine, Milton Jones, your big Christian ones, hitters.
It does show who the nice guys are as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's pretty much just us, isn't it?
Just me. No, really. People like Jimmy Carr, you know what I mean? Like Michael McIntyre, I bet they're as clean.
I mean, it's sort of, I'm saying something like Milton is a good name for like... Milton Jones. I think Milton is the most like normal comedian I've ever met. Yeah, in terms of... Like, on stage, Milton Jones has the big hair and the funny shirts, and he plays that sort of wide-eyed madman. But, like, he, off stage, is just such a normal, nice family man. He's lovely.
Is he a religious guy?
I think so.
He's religious, yeah. I did Singapore with him. Yeah. Spent days with him. He's so quiet.
Yeah.
You feel one of them people to be with where all the onus is on you to make all the conversation. But it's not exhausting. It's quite nice in a weird way. He's really nice to be around. I used to get the train back from football on a Tuesday. I always sat with him and had a nice chat with him. He was always good fun to be around. But there are a lot of nice comedians. I saw Hal Crutterden the other day.
Yeah.
And he was the same. He was kind of like, they're saying all comedians know about it. I didn't know anything about any of this. Hal, you did 5 gigs a night. You didn't talk to anyone.
Yeah,
it's
true. I'm not telling you a secret, mate. Yeah. The most anxious man alive will spurt out on a bus. let's see. We've got some questions. What is this? Why is there bumhole chat on the questions? Have you started some chat?
No. Someone had a picture of a bike in Amsterdam, and on the back light was like a little sticker, but a bumhole. So it was like the bumhole of the bike.
Okay.
And it started bumhole chat. Yeah.
Oh really? Okay. Somebody said, "Are bumhole stickers offensive or inviting?" Was it an actual bum or was it like a drawing of a bum?
I don't know, actually. I didn't know. Couldn't tell.
Where is it? I'll try and find the picture. But, oh, that's disgusting. Yeah, it's a... there we go. Sticker of a bumhole.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, but you put it on the back of your bike.
More medical than comical, that.
Should put it on the... Why don't you just put it on the back of your trousers? Yeah. So it just looks like you've got a hole in it.
Over your bumhole. Instead of wearing shorts.
Are they offensive? Or inviting. I think neither. They're just a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, that I thought it was going to be more cartoonish.
I thought it was going to be cartoonish.
That's hovering some kind of middle ground.
That's really accurate.
Yeah, it's from the NHS really website.
Yeah.
Have you seen them bike lights that is? It looks like a set of balls.
Oh, yeah.
No.
So you hang them off underneath of your seat.
It's a bit rude. And
it's a ball sack.
I wouldn't really want balls on my bike.
I've just got normal lights that flash. I don't know why I sort of, anyone would want.
Not felt the need to bring anus or balls into it.
Nah, I don't think so, I'm no. Right. But yeah.
I mean, it's a step up from eyelashes on a car, isn't it?
Yeah.
If I was going to choose between eyelashes on a car or an anus, I'd go anus.
Yeah, yeah.
Anus on a bike.
Yeah, every day of the week.
Yeah, yeah, that's
good,
true.
Good band as well, anus on a bike.
Yeah. Like their early work.
Yeah.
Before the pipes. Do you have a bike? Because you live in sort of out in the sticks.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you one of them guys that's bought like one of them $2,000 road bikes? Absolutely. And you hog not. Up an A road at the weekend?
Absolutely not. I had a mountain bike that was given to my wife by her stepdad, so it was knackered when she got it, and I used that to ride to the train station to get the train, and then I had a hernia operation, and sometimes you'd there's two stations where I live, so sometimes you go to one and then get the train back to the other.
Yeah.
So the bike was at the other one, so I just walked home and left the bike there. Had a hernia operation, so then was out of action for a while. By the time I went back to the train station to get it, would have ever been left that long, they'd cut it and disposed of it.
Oh, no.
I've never had a bike since. That's me out. That's me out the game.
How did you get the hernia?
I think I've just always had it. Just a weakness in the old stomach.
I've got a little lump there. I don't know if it's a hernia
or not.
It
could be.
It doesn't hurt.
Well, I didn't for ages, and it just suddenly popped out just as I was leaving.
Because what is it? It's like a little slit, like
is
in
it
your
a vein popping.
No,
out?
No, it's not a vein. It's a
lump. It's a weakness in your stomach lining where the stuff comes out.
Yeah, it's like almost a little bit of the wall of your stomach pushing out.
Yeah. And it's but in what your balls.
The way they fix
it. I just thought
it,
I had big balls.
The way they fix it is they put a mesh. They put a little mesh in the lining and cover it up, so it ends up creating a new lining.
When I had it done, because I was told mine was quite severe. It was quite a big operation.
Would you say it was near your... What was it there further down? Sorry.
Show us.
Because I have... you say that. I had... mine was further down. You have ones that pop out in different... Mine was going down into my balls.
Oh,
so my stomach was in my balls.
Oh.
Looking back on it. They yank it all up. So you're bruised. It's completely bruised. It's quite traumatic. And my ball bag was like a black eye. It was completely bruised.
Oh,
I've never sent a dick pic, but I'll admit to sending a photo of my... I'm a gentleman. It was just balls. So your hand is around and it's just
Russell Brand.
Completely purple balls.
Yeah.
And I've said a few people have found that funny. I've sent it to just close friends.
And
every single one of them replied, "Oh, my wife said that's rank." I'm like, what are you showing your wife for? Send it to her.
Oh, yeah, but once you send it, it's fair game.
So every single one of my mates got that photo. Went, "Oh, look at that." But it was pretty severe. Black eye on the balls.
You're quite a fit guy, though, aren't you?
I exercise regular.
Did you? You boxed for a while, did you?
Go to a boxing club once a week to exercise. Crucially, I never box anyone. It's a solo activity for me.
Yeah. Just for the cardio.
It's about the fitness.
So what are you doing? Good. Bags.
We're talking three rounds of skipping, three rounds of shadow
boxing.
You're
a good skipper.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then
you do the one foot, the Mayweather.
Oh yeah. Six rounds on the bags. Finish on weights to try and bulk up. Because
why don't you do weights first? Because by the time you do weights, you've burnt out, so you won't you know, if you do I'll weights first.
Well, cardio should be after, shouldn't it?
Yeah. Or even a different day if you really want to bulk up. But I'd do cardio afterwards if I were you, yeah.
Joe, you know, my gym's just had a makeover.
They've developed it.
Tooting Leisure Centre.
Oh.
And they've now got, because the weights bit was all right, but the cardio bit was a bit fucked. It's a bit old fashioned. Just like, it basically was just running machines. It was a stair machine, old school rowing machine. They've got a bunch of new, they've got assault bikes. They've got the skier thing, that, you know, the pull down skier machine.
Yeah. I've never done
They're
that.
They're fucking brutal. It's their proper high intensity stuff. They've got an angled rowing machine where you're angled down like that and you're rowing up. It's brutal.
Wow. Yeah,
really
yeah.
fun.
Like a waterfall.
Well, it's like, but it's also you're going up. It's like you're trying to row up a hill. Up a waterfall.
Yeah. It's funny when you see other people doing that, you think, that wouldn't be that bad. And then you do it, you go, no, this is worse.
Yeah.
Like that up, that the running machine where you make it up a hill, that is brutal. The boxing, I've always loved boxing, but he made me spar with someone else once.
Were they good?
Luckily, both times they were like older ex-professionals or ex-semi-pros.
Yeah.
So they were basically coaching.
Yes.
Going, just like I said, I don't
think
it's like
the higher level your opponent, the almost safer you are because they know distance.
They're
not going to knock you out by accident.
So
you know
he said to him,
I'm too strong anyway.
Just move him around, which is clearly boxing terminology for don't hit him, you'll kill him, look at him.
Yeah,
and then the third time he put me in with this like 19-year-old, 6'3", swinging like it's a world title fight.
Fuck
it. And he said to me, you're the only person I've ever seen spar who did his own commentary.
Oh shit!
I was like, "What, mate? All right." I think at one point I said, "Mate, it's 10 o'clock on a Tuesday."
I got no beef.
And then I threw away the gum shield then, because you can't spar unless you have a gum shield. So I threw it away. So I'm not here to be. I've got a gig tonight. I can't have my nose over the other side of my face. But it's really. I haven't done it for a couple of weeks. I've got because summer holidays and all that. But I used to not exercise because I didn't want to waste time. So I thought, I need to write.
Yeah.
Remember when you were like, I need to be writing all the time. But if you're not exercising, your writing gets better if you exercise.
Well, your brain just getting a bit more active. It's almost like that thing of like, just go for it. Sometimes if you're trying to write something, you can't, there's nothing's coming. Just go for a walk, do anything. Yeah, do something active and you get them
You're quite prolific though, aren't you? Right, you're always grinding and writing.
But it's weird that a few people have said that to me, oh, you always do different stuff than that, but you don't feel like that yourself. You feel like everyone else is, and
that's
you're
what
not.
Like drives you, I guess. It's good, isn't it?
I had that thing when I started as well. It's like ridiculous now, but I had a couple of things. One, I saw someone comparing and it blew my mind, like they were making it all up, and then saw them again and do some of the same stuff.
The thing that happened to me with a guy called Drew Barr. He did this. Do you remember that?
He was, I mean, I don't care if he's listening. He was a colossal dick. He
was he?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I know that name, Drew.
I saw him do the same. I saw him do a bit to me. I was the target.
Yeah.
And before I'd started comedy, I went to the comedy caf, dug me out. And I was like embarrassed, but I was like, that's pretty funny. He just did that. And then flash forward 3 years, I did my first open spot at Camden Jonglers. He hosted before bringing me on. He did that bit with someone else. It was like watching the Matrix or something. I was like, fuck, it's all a lie.
I saw Kitson do that.
Yeah.
See, I remember.
Fuck, can you remember it?
Yeah.
That was it.
Pokemon.
Oh my God.
I remember him doing that. Just like unnecessarily aggressive and unpleasant.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't like him. He was quite unpleasant and aggressive to the audience and then bring you on.
We need to have a quick break and then we're going
to
move over to the Patreon chunk.
Well, we'll talk about Russell Brand in depth.
I think we've already talked about it more than we
should
have.
To add. Patreon.com/WeAreTVI for some secrets about Lucas's past.
Before we do
past.
That, actually, this is the public bit. You're still on tour. Go and see you on tour, because this is the public bit. Everyone will hear this.
Oh, okay.
Just find you online and they can go and
Andrew
see
Bird
you. How many
comedian.
Tour shows you got left?
AndrewBirdComedian.com.
Yeah. Not to be confused with Andrew Bird, the American musician.
Yes.
Go see him, but don't go to me thinking you're going to see him.
Oh, my God.
Because that happened a couple of times.
You had to sing.
And I've had an email. So, yeah. Got about 20-something left.
AndrewBird.com. Great comedian.
Yes.
Thanks.
Check his tour show out. Big sellout in Sheffield.
You know fine well it wasn't.
Stop it.
Yeah, it was.
Stop it.
Hi, everybody. That's the end of the public episode.
Thanks for listening. Now, if you would like to hear more, you can go over to patreon.com/...
We are TVI. You have to put it in the search bar.
Because we still haven't taken it off adult content.
Because it's triple X.
It's true. It's dirty. Filthy.
Nice.
Get your willies out when you listen. But yeah, go over to Patreon, sign up. What's the tiers? I can't remember what they're. Three?
We've got £3, £5... 10 pounds. And 20.
That's what I mean. The 20 is a joke one. £10 is sort of a joke as well. £3 gets you just all the back catalogue, extra episodes, and
hours and hours. Hours.
I mean, there's what, I don't know, how I'm 100 probably 100 hours extra sort of episodes. The £5 tier, you get all that as well. But you also, if you wish, get to join the TVI WhatsApp group. And
you can also see the full episode or listen to the full episode with a £3 tier.
Yeah. So
£5 gets you the WhatsApp group.
Yeah. Excellent. That's it. That's all you need to know. Get over to Patreon if you want more.
Thanks for listening.
Otherwise, just thanks for listening to the public episode. And we'll
please like and share.
Yeah, give it a share, mate. Tell your friends. Tell your families. Tell your kids. Bye.
We actually changed the podcast.
Oh, it used to die of AIDS in an alleyway.